to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Good morning, radio listeners. Praise the Lord today for an awesome, beautiful, let there be light day. God did not wake up and decide to put this day on the calendar. He did that when he performed creation, as far as we know, written in Genesis 1 and 1. Oh, bless the Lord today. I pray that you are and have already been in his presence. You're praising and thanking him. I thank God for today. This is your guest host, Reverend E. June Addison, and I am so grateful that I have the opportunity to sit in for Sister B.J. Barbara and with Just Stuff. So I'm grateful for her. And also, I want to announce that next month I will be your host for the month of August, as we continue to pray for Sister Barbara and for a full, amen, recovery and healing. So we thank God today that he is God, he loves us, and that he is with us. We're going to a familiar word, familiar passage in the Bible, and if you've been around church any amount of years or even days, you will know this passage out of John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I pray you have your pencil, paper, and your Bible, and we're going to walk through this passage, amen. It is John chapter 14, and we primarily may hear this read at funerals or preached at funerals, but the Lord is bringing it to us, which is appropriate for funerals. The Lord is bringing it to us to remind us of his identity and how we gain access to the Father God. God is bringing this passage to us, particularly in verse 5 and 6 will be our focus, but he is reminding us of his identity and access to the Father God, the way of access to the Father God. So let's get into the word today, and we know that this is the first part of this passage is a conversation between Jesus and Brother Thomas, disciple Thomas. And Jesus is preparing the disciples for his departure. But before his departure, Jesus will be betrayed, denied, and crucified. And in Jesus' hearts of heart, in his spirit, he is preparing the disciples for what they're about to face. And so in verses 1 through 4, he tells them, I'm going away. I will come back for you. And where I am, you'll be also. What an assurance. And before we get to verse 5, Thomas is concerned about, and he asks the question, Lord, how will we know, and I'm paraphrasing, how will we know, where are you going, and how will we know the way? Brother Thomas was concerned where and how this would happen. Perhaps he was thinking of an earthly location where Jesus would be, said he was going. But Jesus had to shift Thomas's understanding from where and how to who. Hallelujah. As he is wanting to do with us this morning, Jesus wants to shift our understanding of this passage, not so much where and how. Lord, we know not whether thou goest. We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Jesus wants to shift our thinking, as he did with Thomas, from thinking of an earthly life to eternal life. And this message today is shifting us from temporary to eternal. We know that this world is quickly fading. When we see the fires and the floods and the storms, the tornadoes, the hail, we see how quickly material things can be destroyed. Material things can fade away. Material things, earthly things, houses, cars, property, all these things can be dwindle away. They can be destroyed. But Jesus wants us to focus on not the temporary, which is here on earth, but the eternal with him. So when Jesus answered Brother Thomas, Jesus didn't stutter. He didn't say, "I am a way, Thomas." Jesus left no doubt in his answer. He identifies himself for Thomas, and he says, "Thomas, I am the way." That's our focus today from this passage. Jesus is the way. He is not a way. He is not some way along with other ways. Jesus left no room for doubt. He said, "The way, the truth, the life. No other way to the Father but by me." And we must know and believe that because Jesus is the only way, he is the only way to the Father God. I've learned, and when you pay attention to people, particularly people who are, you know, who are in the world, who are not, they're not of the church, they have not come out of the world, they will use Jesus, they will use God's name more than they will use Jesus's name. And I asked the Lord one day, "Lord, I wonder why that is. Why is it they're comfortable with saying God, oh, thank you, God, or whatever phrase they may say, but rarely you hear them say Jesus?" And when I asked him, he said, because in using Jesus's name, in referring to Jesus, in giving him his due identity, they must deal with who he is. And who he is the one that came to show us the way. And so many times people don't really acknowledge the identity of Jesus. They're more comfortable with just saying from their lips, God. They don't want to deal with who Jesus is, the way, the truth, and the life. And so in giving him his true and honorable identity, we must acknowledge who Jesus is in his full deity, in the fullness of who God sent him and made him to be. Because in saying Jesus, we receive him as our personal Savior and Lord. And many people don't want to get there. It's all right for God. It is all right for higher power. It's all right for the man upstairs, what some are comfortable with. Oh, but when you invoke the identity of Jesus, when we call that name, we're calling upon the living, true Savior, the one that saves us, delivers us, sets us free. And many people have to deal with those things that Jesus comes and that he identifies himself as Savior and Lord. He's the way to the Father God. He's the way, and he teaches that we must come into a right relationship with the Father. It's Jesus that gives us the right relationship with the Father. Jesus being the way, I want to emphasize that. Jesus being the way gives us right relationship with the Father God. And it can come no other way but through Jesus Christ. When we look at Proverbs 14 and 12, Proverbs 14 and 12 tells us there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, Proverbs said there is a way. I can choose a way. I can choose that way. I can choose a way that I think is right for me. I can choose a way that I think I looked at all the facts about it, and I choose a way. But when we consult Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Word, when we consult him, when we bring him into our decision-making process and realize that he is the way, he will show us the way into a situation, out of a situation, what to do, how to do, what the end result will be, what his purpose and plan is. Oh, my God, he'll lead us and guide us. But Proverbs reminds us there is a way that seems right, but the end thereof, the ways thereof is death. And then we look at Acts 4 and 12. Acts 4 and 12. For there is none other name under heaven given among men. Among men means all of humanity. It is not gender specific. It's all of humanity. Whereby we must be saved. No other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ. He is the path we are to follow, we must follow to gain access to the Father God. Jesus made it plain, the way. He is solely and exclusively the way to the Father. No one gets to the Father God but through Jesus Christ, having a personal relationship with him, having received him as your Savior and Lord. Jesus was decisive. He decisively declared, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, which is in verse 6. I like the meaning of the word decisive. I looked it up because when the Holy Spirit brought it to me to use this particular word, I looked it up, and the word decisive means in a manner that settles an issue convincingly or produces a definite result. That's what Jesus did when he said, the way, the truth, the life. In identifying to Thomas who he, his identity, he decisively declared, Thomas, there's no other way. There's no getting out of the way, the truth. Now, you can choose your own path. You can choose a way. But I just want you to know that I am the way, Thomas, and the only access to the Father is through me. It's through having a personal, right relationship with me that gives you access to the Father. Oh, my brothers and sisters. I wondered why God was bringing this word for today. And in it, you know, he had me understand, remind them the body of Christ. Remind believers, even those who who have not made Jesus their Savior and Lord. Remind them that there is no other way in this world, in this culture. So many voices, social media, this way, that way, this thing, this new thing, this new gadget, this new, all of it that's coming fast and furious at us in this day and age, and bombarding our children in this generation with various ways of living life. But it's many of it is life that draws away from Jesus. It's life that do not direct us to Jesus. But that's the way of the world. The world draws away from Jesus and having a personal relationship with him. The world brings all these things before us. It brings all these latest and the most popular. And it amazes me at all these individuals who are called influencers, who have these thousands of followers. Even some of them have millions of followers. Following an individual on social media, taking their advice, seeking their counsel. Oh my God, where in that influencer's heart or life or spirit does these things come from? My brothers and sisters, we have to teach our young people and teach those who are not yet saved. We must teach them, and those who are in the world, who are following after the world, the temporary things of the world. We must teach them that the cross of Calvary was a decisive declaration, a decisive demonstration of salvation, of redemption, of reconciliation, of God's love, and his decisive demonstration of access to him, God the Father. And it was through no other means than by Jesus Christ. He's the only one able to have been hung on that cross, who was sent for our redemption, to redeem us from sin, to redeem us from the world's tricks and traps and all the bells and whistles and all that goes on in the world that the enemy uses to allure us, to beguile us, to draw us away from the Father, draw us away from a relationship with Jesus Christ. He was the one that died by crucifixion. His blood was shed for humanity. He was buried and remained in the grave. We know the story. He remained in the grave 3 days as he said he would. But after those 3 days, Jesus rose from that borrowed tomb, decisively declaring that all power was given unto him in heaven and in earth. We know we can read that. We can read about Jesus giving his life. 1 Corinthians 15:4-5. And when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10:9, believe in our heart that God the Father raised him from the dead, we shall, that is an assurance, we shall be saved. But we can't stop there. We can't stop at 1 Corinthians 15:4-5 to just read it. We can't stop at just Romans 10:9 and just read it. But we must become a part of the body of Christ. We must become a part of who Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus was not talking about him building brick and mortar. He wasn't talking about building buildings and massive buildings and mega. He was talking about building his church with you and I, building his church with those that have received him as the way, the pathway to accessing God the Father. He was talking about salvation and those who would be saved by no other means but through him. Oh, my brothers and sisters, no church where humanity goes to worship is perfect. No church where men, women, boys, girls, no church is perfect. But we are redeemed. Hallelujah. We are redeemed. We are redeemed that when we don't get it right, when we follow the ways of Jesus Christ, when we don't get it right, we have a Savior, we have an advocate where we can go in and ask for forgiveness. Don't stop at forgiveness. Repent. Yes, God forgives, for his mercy is new every morning. We must repent. That is, turn from that thing, turn from that way, never to return back to it. The Lord is saying to us today, don't put more energy, effort, years, and resources into this temporary earthly life than you put into your eternal life. Because it's through Christ Jesus, him being the way, that we gain eternal life. And eternal life is not when we die and go to heaven. He gives us eternal life in us while we are on earth, so that when we do breathe our last breath here on earth, we exhale in his presence in eternity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We have eternal life in us for those that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we live in the earth as being eternally bound people that is following the way of Jesus Christ. So we must settle it today. We must settle all the issues that hinder us from knowing that Jesus is the way. Put away all your human reasoning. Well, you know, if the way, you know, there is, well, I can go this way, I can do it this way, I'm a good person, I do the right thing, I don't bother anybody. We must settle all those issues of justifying our actions and opinions. And know for certain, live for certain, that Jesus is the way to be saved. He is the way to eternal life with him and God the Father and the heavenly host. I want to share this story with you. I was in a store and a lady came in to get copies of pictures of her relative. And she said, she was explaining to the clerk there, she said, oh, he was a good person. He'd give you the shirt off his back. He was a good person. And the Holy Spirit spoke and he said this: heaven is a prepared place for God's prepared people. Yes, you can be good, but you must be a prepared good person. How awesome is that? How clarifying is that? Good will not, just being good, a good person, and we know, we understand what that means, but just being that good person that would give and is free-hearted, just being that good person apart from Jesus Christ is not what the way to the Father God. But we must be a prepared people through Christ Jesus. Yes, be good, but be a prepared good person through Jesus Christ. And he brought the scripture, Mark 10 and 18, to me, where Jesus said, there is none good but one. That is God. So we can't live in this earth just being good. We must live in this earth being a prepared good person. Prepared in the ways of Jesus Christ. Prepared in the ways of godliness and holiness. Prepared in the ways of his commandments and teaching. Prepared in the ways of following after him. Oh, my brothers and sisters. Then Jesus, I say, Jesus kicked it up a notch. He said, Thomas, I'm not only the way, I am the truth. Thomas, I'm the truth. Put your name there, whatever name. I am the truth, Thomas. God's word is truth. He that comes to him must believe that he is. So the truth of that fact is we must believe God is who he say he is. We must believe that he exists. We must believe that he has no beginning nor end, Alpha and Omega. We must believe according to the scriptures who God says he is, who Jesus came to teach us who he is. The truth is God's word written on the pages of this book called the Bible. And the Bible has stood the test of time. Yes, there are many interpretations. Yes, there are many translations. But when we go back to the King James Version, when we go back to the Hebrew teachings, then we know that the Bible, the scriptures, are true. You know, experts say that the Bible is 3,400 years old. That we can count, that man has counted. And it's the condensed, I say the condensed version, because in the disciples' day, they didn't have this nice, neat King James Version. They did not have this Old Testament and New Testament. All they had was the Pentateuch. All they had was the first five books of the Bible. And Jesus, who said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill what they knew, to fulfill it, to be there with them, to teach them. The Bible, the scriptures, the word of God, gives us the knowledge of God and directs us in the ways of Jesus Christ. In my public health days, we understood one thing, and not only did it come to a point where experts learned this, but they began to modify how we went out to teach people about protecting themselves from communicable diseases. And one thing we learn is that, you know, it's one thing to know the truth, but it's another thing to live the truth as we ought to. We would go out and bring information. We would go out and make the information plain and knowledgeable to the people we came in contact with. They had the knowledge, especially during the HIV and AIDS era. They had the knowledge, but whether that knowledge translated to behavior change, that was a whole nother matter. And so it is in the body of Christ. So it is with us. We know Jesus is the way. We know that the words of the Bible, the scriptures, are true. But do we live them as we ought to? Believe the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, this is the work of the Father, that you believe on him that sent me. Christ is our saving grace, salvation. But we must also know that not only that he is the way, but